Well, good morning, everybody. Thanks for braving the storm and the impending storm. Gavin Newsom's real excited about it, so we should be too. I'm gonna read a passage this morning, and then it'll be a little bit different as well. But this is Psalm 125. It's one of my favorite psalms. I'm just gonna read the first two verses. It says this: "Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forevermore." I love this passage because it talks about the unfailing, enduring, never shaking reality of those who get to trust in God. And the trusting is for, it's really interesting. I think I didn't plan a lot of nerdy things this morning, but one nerdy thing is if you do comparative literature to the same time that this was written, you would find a lot of "we trust in our God" or "these kinds of gods because they build our fortresses" or "they keep the enemies at bay." But this is one where it says, "We trust in God, we won't be shaken because the Lord surrounds his people now and forevermore." And I just think that that's really lovely. Yeah. So this morning will be different because today I'm announcing that I am leaving and me and my family are going to be moving to Austin, Texas. And I'll no longer be the pastor of this church come this summer. I want to let you guys know a few things. I know that that's surprising and shocking, perhaps. But I have a lot to say now. So, but now you won't be trying to figure out what I'm trying to say. I think that's what's fair. I love this church. Like, I love you guys. I love the leaders. I love each and every one of you. We love this city. Sarah Wexler was excited to learn the other day that I actually loved the Lakers before I moved here. She had thought for like 8 years I was a poser or something. But I love this city, like our neighbors, our friends that we've been able to make. I've loved being able to be a person that gets to speak truth to this body, to be a person that gets to point to hope. I like it on Sundays, but my favorite memories will always be of in living rooms or at home state, though that's super recent. I'm trying to remember of anything before home state, and it's hard. We're really thankful to God for bringing us here and the transformation and just the grace of God for our time here, these 7 years. And I believe the church, which is the disciples, you, like humans, is really healthy. Like, it's really exciting to me. Not that you were all unhealthy and morbidly obese or something a long time ago, but that God has really, I've seen in my life here, I've seen in you become really healthy and trusting people of God, and it's really wonderful. I'm filled with lots of hope and confidence in what God has done in your life, what God is doing in your life, what God will always keep doing in your life. The Lord will surround his people. It's always weird to talk about these things. I mean, this is just my second time to ever have to do this, but it's weird because it's, I don't know, I guess I have to step in and realize that, like, I have had a significant role in people's lives, and I'm not God. But also, I just want to acknowledge that I do know that God will continually transform your lives, and it's really exciting. Being your pastor has been a joy. I'll probably cherish it forever. I mean, I think I will, unless I forget in my memory. I will also cherish the reality that you allowed me to serve you in this way, and that you gave me some little spiritual authority over your lives. And it's been really lovely, not always easy, but it's been a real joy. I also get that it's really surprising. It's probably a shock or something like that, especially with me just talking about how much I love you and how much I love the city and all of that. And you're like, well, then why are you moving, right? So I will try to explain like just a little bit. And then I know you might also have questions around like, oh, like what does this mean for me and the church and things like that? And we'll talk about that at the end of the gathering. So you can just like try to live in this moment if you want. But you don't have to. If you want to just think about how this affects you, that's totally cool. No judgment. But yeah, really, this kind of started for me. And I was in Oxford riding the train to London. And I just had a great week of studying. And I was journaling quite a bit. And I just really felt like in that journaling, in that time of prayer with God and trains in Europe, it's like first-class life. It's really great. But I felt like God was saying, like, he's calling me into a new season. The way that I view my life and my ministry and all those different factors are changing for me, and that will change. And I didn't think very much about it. And I encourage you when those things happen to kind of, I had a mentor once that said, well, you put that on the shelf and you see if God keeps bringing it off the shelf. And that's how you'll know. That it wasn't just I was really high on life because I was in Oxford. And so what began to happen through the months after that is I began to feel more and more sure that that was what God was calling us to. I began to know that our time here, my role in leading in this way was coming to an end, that I was no longer called to or empowered to by the Spirit to lead this church the way I have been, that God was freeing us up, even as a family, to consider new desires and new season. And so at the end of December, that became really clear for us. And there's, never really good timing when it comes to any of these things. So I believe that, it was the week between Christmas and New Year's that we finally like looked at each other and we're like, yeah, this is what we're going to do. So here are the three reasons. There's always lots, but here are the three big primary desires that came to us. One is we want to have greater access to our extended families. I think that's something that like tons of y'all can relate to or resonate with. But we don't just want to live near them. We want to be able to see them more often. For the five of us to get somewhere, it's really expensive. And there are just many times over and over again we're not able to do that. The other thing is that we just really feel a sincere calling to invest in our families' lives. I think a key moment for me was in late October. Maybe it was, I don't know when I was in Australia. But I was in Australia with this guy that I really love, David Miles, who's in his 70s, pastored really faithfully. And his son had just moved back to be a pastor of a church up the hill from where he lived. And I saw this family around, and it was like, I want this, just like as a genuine desire. So that's it. I think there's all sorts of factors. My grandfather dying last year, my grandmother being on a bunch of land that she can't take care of, though she believes she can. They just don't make them like they used to. 83 years ago, they made really tough people. And since then, they've been getting weak, though I hear this new generation's really tough. Like Nora. The second desire is really born out of what began, I think, at that time in Oxford. And really, the last, I've been a pastor for 15 years. And I think all through those years, I've been fortunate to pastor people really struggling to keep believing and believing, but not sure, you know? A lot of, I just can't quit Jesus, but I want to, kind of. And I think what that's born in me is a real desire to help people and create spaces for people to learn and have confidence for knowing Jesus. I'm not sure exactly what that holds. I'm going to be applying to a doctoral program on faith and culture. I have dreams of a center, an urban center for faith, culture, and doubt. We'll see what God does with it. It might just be a dream. that gets me off the train. Then the third desire is one for rest. I do think that I'm tired. My family is tired. I don't think I'm burned out, but tired. For the past 15 years, Mirel and I moved on our first anniversary to Portland with an SUV full of our stuff to plant a church where we knew nobody. We planted a church and a team. We led that church for 8 years through lots of transitions and challenges and all of those things. And we were actually just reflecting the other day that most people that we saw leave Portland moved to go somewhere like really chill, like Hillsboro or Sherwood Forest. That's my joke for Jeff, where he grew up, Vancouver. But what God did is he called us 7 years ago to move here to LA and to lead in the key point in this church's life through COVID afterwards, leadership transitions. Honestly, even after COVID, it's like planting a whole new church, trying to create a new culture in this church with more freedom around Jesus than a burden for Jesus. So I think if you add all of that and the normal exhaustion of daily life and trying to raise kids and find the right schools and finances and all of those things that I know you're really well acquainted with, and I'm sure your lives have been really hard too. I mean, I know they have been. But I am tired and my family is really tired. And I guess this is not very sermon-like, but I do want to be clear with something for you, if I can use my life as an example. God's vision for your life is not burnout. Like he, all through the story, like even Elijah's life, like Elijah going out into the desert and being like, I'm so fed up with this, was never like God's vision for it all. Like he was never like, I'm asking you to do more than you're ever capable of doing. Like that's not really a true thing. Like God is capable of doing way more than we're able to do. God will stretch you. God will call you to hard things, hard seasons, suffering. A lot of you, a lot of us have lifelong challenges we just have to hold. But God doesn't call you to end yourself emotionally and physically. Where you can't even be present anymore. And so I am tired, I do want rest. I do have lots of energy until the end of the summer. I'm gonna work really, really hard, I can't wait. I'm full of passion and desire to love this church, but we do need a rest. And so I'm not taking a new pastoral role, like a lead pastor role. I hope that one day I'll get to lead like this again in this kind of way or on a team. I'm not really not sure. I just know that this specific calling in this moment has left me. And so knowing this, I think we all know about quiet quitting, maybe, where you decide you're done with this job and you just wait until the next one comes. And I think that's if you guys are doing that in your workplaces, I think that's really totally cool. And you should do that. Keep doing it, Austin. Keep quiet quitting. Oh no, this will be on the internet. Austin Jorgensen. I think that that's one of the ways in which my job is super weird. I think that it requires a full, constant, like, commitment and vision and investment and presence that maybe some people have the personality where they can do that, but I don't. And so I think that to finish well also means to say, oh, I don't know what's actually next, but it's time for me to move on, I guess. One of my heroes in my life is Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp. I think he's one of the best. Hopefully they won today. Don't tell me, Nate. When he was hired at Liverpool, he said, it doesn't matter what people think of you when you arrive. It matters what they think of you when you leave. And so I really want to leave well. I know there's probably a range of emotions in this room. Obviously, there's a range of emotions within me. Within my family. This is always super hard, and so I'm sure you'll ask, what can we do for you? You know, you can pray for me, pray for our family. We're like trying to figure a bunch of things out. And I think the best way for me to leave is to continue to pray for you. The best way for me to leave well. And so I actually think I've said everything I want to say. And so I'm just going to pray for you as a church right now. And then we'll do the next thing and the next thing. Yeah. Jesus, we come to you and ask that you would give us a really great awareness of your presence that surrounds us, that we would be present in the emotion wheel that we feel. Even now I feel sad, I feel excited, I feel tired and hopeful and all of these different things, confused even at times and questioning. And God, I thank you for the way that you've been with me and my family. I pray that, this body of believers would trust and know you, that we as a church would have a great confidence and even be able to hear your voice with more clarity in your scriptures and one another as we sit by ourselves. We thank you for the power you have to make yourself known in just even simple words of grace and understanding. I pray for this, each disciple, each follower of you to know that they are seen and loved by you, and that you've been the chief architect and friend of their own transformation towards you. And we thank you, Jesus, so much for what you're doing, even in this moment. Amen.